You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Well, welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank podcast. I'm here with Jason. Now, is it Acevedo?
Acevedo.
Acevedo. That sounds like a sauce.
You know, I've heard my name, my last name, I've had people say it as if it's Italian or I don't know. I just think people just can't read because it's very simple, Acevedo. That's Acevedo. It. And people sometimes make it Italian and go Acevedo.
Oh, that's what I did.
I've had people just completely butcher it.
I mean, my name is Robbie Robertson. You should be surprised how many people say that like a freaking disease, where it's like Robbie, like there's no way it could be two of the same stuff. I'm like, no, it'd be ridiculous if my middle name was Robert, which it's not.
Right. It got to a point where in high school, my journalism teacher, she said that we were getting like sweatshirts for the newspaper staff. So she got an example made and it said avocado on the back. And she was like, isn't this cool? And I was like, sure. She was like, this one's yours. And I was like, I thought we were doing nicknames on the back. And she's like, yeah, that's your nickname. And I'm like, Who calls me avocado? And she's like, well, I do now. And I was like, okay. And she was like, if you don't get it, then I'm going to get it. And I was like, okay. So then from that point on, that was it. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't choose that nickname. And then it just stuck. And then that became all my social media eventually. And that's my website.
Jason, well, that leads into the question I was going to ask. I was like, I do not like avocado. I don't trust a fruit that you have to cut a specific day out of like the week. Where it's like, if you don't cut it at that minute, it's gone and it's ruined. And it's just, I was against the norm of that.
I'm not a brand ambassador for the avocado. I'm more of a salsa guy. Like I said, that was just given to me and it makes for perfect merch and social media. So that's really all I use it for. I'm not really a guacamole guy, but I mean, if it's like there, I won't like, if someone's like, let's get some guac and chips, I won't go for it. But if the guac is in my food, fine. I'm not going
to, you know. It's like the person that shows up to the party that wasn't invited, but you'll take him because he's not a bad guy. He ends up actually cleaning up a little bit after the party. You're like, all right, I can handle this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not cooking guacamole. Yeah. But so I mean, it's not my favorite.
We could talk about guac and chips all day, which I'm willing to do, but why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, Jason?
Well, I was hoping you'd talk more because I got a donut.
Why are you eating it like that? Eat it like a man with just the hand. Why do you have the napkin there? That's pretentious.
No, it's COVID. Yeah.
Wait, you're still eating it though.
Yeah. Well, I just got to grab it. I got to be precautious.
Do you have any crazy stories with the donut? Because the first thing, whenever I see a donut, I think of the one time my buddy found out that they throw them all out usually, like at the end of the night or something, the bad ones after a couple of days. He comes up to this bus stop after like before school or something with a giant hefty bag of fucking donuts. And he's like, dude, I'm like, you got trash donuts? He's like, take one. I'm like, and I did. I'm not going to lie. I went for like a nice glazed because it seemed like that would be the best. You don't want to go for the smush like Boston cream or something.
Yeah. I usually do this. I put the donut on my cup while I'm driving and then I bite out of it while I'm driving.
Is that laziness or being the genius of the world?
That's living in the future. That's what that is.
I literally saw a TikTok video where a dude in like China invented a nugget dipper. And it's like a little machine contraption that holds a nugget and you just put it up top and then you hit this button and it just drops in. I'm like, you just dip it.
Oh, I didn't know about that. That's too much.
I'm like, that's like, how far until it's lazy or is it inventive is what I want to know.
I would like that for like to have my ass wiped, but for my nuggets, that's really not that. That's too much work for something that doesn't need any work done.
That's kind of the point of a duvet or a, what is it, a bidet? The thing that sparks bidet, water up there?
No, but that cleans. Oh, yeah, but that cleans your ass. I would love someone to wipe my ass.
That's just you'd hire a servant.
Right, which is what I would think when someone talks about making an automatic nugget dipper thing.
I mean, honestly, I think that's the only good part about getting old is someone ends up wiping your ass for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to wearing diapers again.
I mean, I used to work, like do some side gigs at a retirement home. It wasn't like I wasn't doing it for the kindness of my heart. It was for school. It was called volunteer hours you had to do for government. And I learned a lot of amazing stories. I heard some heartfelt ones, but it was crazy because there was a crazy old guy in there. And he's like, the best part about this gig is tapioca pudding and somebody wipes your ass for you. And I'm like, well, then getting old must be awesome.
Sign me up. What, wait, where are you based out of?
I'm in Maryland.
Oh, wow. That is random. Are we allowed to swear on here?
Yeah, I think I've done it already.
That's random as fuck. That's really, yeah.
What's wrong with Maryland?
Nothing. I just didn't expect you to be in Maryland.
Where are you, Texas?
Ill. What did I do wrong? I'm in Chicago.
You're in Chicago? Oh, the home of the deep dish.
Yes, sir. That's my favorite right there.
It's not even a pizza.
I mean, you're right. It's a slice of heaven.
It's because every time I talk to someone from Chicago, it really opened up my mind. It's not really a pizza. It's more like a calzone or lasagna or something. It's in a pan. You consider the basic crust to be the actual pizza.
I mean, it's a thick pizza. It's like saying a girl with no ass is not a girl. And it's just like, no, it's just, that's a flat ass. Or you like a thick ass. I like a thick ass. I like a thick pizza.
I can't argue with that point at all.
Can't. They're all pizza.
So what do you do besides be Jason?
Well, I'm a comedian. I think that's why I was sent here.
You were sent here by fee?
Yeah. I'm a comedian. I'm based in Chicago. I normally don't do podcasts this early. I think this is the second one I've done this early.
It's like 4 in the afternoon here, almost 5.
I know, this is usually the time I wake up, but I had a dream that woke me up this morning. Because I work late nights ever since COVID started. But I had a dream where I spent $537 at Dunkin' Donuts. I was a teacher teaching a class down the street, and I needed to buy donuts for my kids. And I swore I only bought two dozen donuts, so 24, and then I bought a half a dozen, so I had 30 donuts total. And then I got a drink. I got a pumpkin spice drink. I don't know why I did that. I don't like that shit at all. And then they rang me up and they're like $537. And I was like talking to the cashier because she was really nice. And I just gave her my card without her telling me what the price was. And then I got my receipt back and I was like, whoa, why did half my bank account just get charged for this? And she was like, oh. And then I was like, what? And then I woke up. And then I didn't get to go to my class.
So many questions for that dream. First of all,
very weird. Yeah.
Why was your dream about buying donuts? Second of all, why the hell is it so accurate on the fact of if somebody asks like, oh, here you go, you're immediately going to hand your card over to them and then you get the price. Then you were like still kind of stingy about the price in your dream where it was like $537 is a lot for some fucking donuts.
And so, yeah.
Questions.
Two main reasons why I had that kind of dream. I'm fat and I didn't jerk. Leads to just, I think I have very boring dreams when I don't watch porn before I go to sleep. And usually those dreams are just me being fat in the real world, but in my dreams, I literally dream about simple shit like we just discussed. I don't know what the significance is. There might be a deeper meaning behind that dream. But honestly, I think someone on the end of the other transaction just fucked me over and was trying to be cute about it.
That's how I'm looking at it. But then I would look at, like, if a therapist heard that and they're like, it's because you believe you're the donut and there's a hole you're trying to fill. And then I'm like, probably not. Maybe it was just a random dream, because I had one about sharks the other day and I had shark repellent. Didn't do a damn thing. I was fucked both way, and I knew it when the guy handed me the repellent. He's like, this is to block off the sharks. I'm sitting there like, motherfucker, if a shark is going to take – how do you even spray it underwater? It doesn't make sense. It's not going to do anything. It's going to hit me, and if anything. That's the point. It's going to entrap you in this mist, and then the shark's not going to bite you. I'm like, this sounds pretty sketch, but I'm honestly just in the dream.
But you don't even need repellent. Just don't go into the water.
That's not how dreams work. Dreams are like, they're a movie. You're just kind of playing a scene in, like an actor.
Damn. This, are you sure you're not a dream therapist? Because this sounds, I've never heard that before.
I've tried to study dreams before, and they always say, as soon as you wake up from like a nightmare, write down all the major things. And then those major things, if you start analyzing them, are problems going on in your life. Somewhat true, but I still don't understand what parachuting out of an airplane. And then when we find out our parachute's not going to work, I try and take the guy and spin him in front of me so he takes the full impact, thinking I'm going to survive that way. I don't know what that means.
But like I'm telling you, I have very mundane dreams. Like I had a dream where I could just cross my legs while sitting. That's it. It's all was.
The whole dream?
Yeah. I mean,
how it's fucking just long did it take you to try and cross your legs? I'm doing that right now.
What's me doing? It's me doing things that you can't usually do as a fat guy. I think that's what most of my dreams are. I feel like I had a nightmare recently, but I don't remember exactly what it was. I just remember I woke up two times to like make sure it wasn't real, and then I just went back to bed and I dreamt it again, but I don't remember where it was.
Well, like I saw on Instagram, like you were active, like I think it was like I was up at like 4 a.m. I was, you know, doing my thing, and the next thing I know, I look over and it's like active 1 hour ago. It's like, this man has been up all night. He did not go to bed until late.
Yeah. I work until 4 in the morning, and then when I get home, I usually eat something and then I take a while to go to bed.
That's funny that you work at, or you get off at 4 a.m. I start work at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's insane.
Because that's my morning and that's your night. Oh, perspective change.
Goddamn. It's too early for that kind of thinking.
Well, I do have a really kind of serious question to ask, is about the comedy thing. So,
get it.
How has that affected you since COVID and everything? Because I know I had Brant Tobler on here a while back, and now I see him doing shows now, and I was asking him how like the dramatic shift is, and he said it's a little bit different. It's a lot kind of like buildings trying to accommodate for it, but it's so hard because you guys have been off for so long from telling jokes.
Yeah, well, my OnlyFans is popping, that's for sure. But my any show that I had, the last show I did was in February, and that was when they were like the government was like, yeah, we're going to have to shut this shit down. So we were one of the last shows that happened. And I remember going on stage with a mask and then I took it off after 10 minutes, but I did an hour show for like 80 people. And it was just so weird because I remember driving there. It was in Wisconsin. And I remember driving back and, you know, it was super chill. We were not thinking about it at all. We didn't even think that this whole shutdown was possible because, like I said, all the news was just coming out that there was potential for a shutdown. And now that I've talked about it with my friend who's featuring for me, we talked about it and we're like, man, we were so privileged. We're just sitting there thinking that nothing wrong or bad could happen. And then everything went to hell. And so, yeah, I haven't performed since February. I've gotten asked to do, I want to say, 3 shows. 2 of them didn't pay. But then that second one was like, I will pay you. And I was like, nah, I'm good. And then the other one, so it was like a, my friend's band had a, had an outdoor backyard concert, but nobody was there for comedy. Nobody gave a shit. So instead of doing a set, I just said a couple jokes before I brought them up, and that was it. That was the closest thing to performing since February. But I'm doing my first show on Friday outdoors, and this is a comedy show. So people are coming out to see this outdoor show, so that's fun. But in terms of how it's affected it, I mean, or how it's affected everything, I mean, I was supposed to go on my first headlining tour, and that's not happening anymore, you know, until next year. And I am a pizza delivery driver right now. So I was banking on all these shows to, you know, for income, but all that shit went to hell.
I've heard so many stories from comedians talking about how, like, they had to switch and get a regular job. And I'm like, it kind of sucks because I feel like there's obviously a large amount of the population that just isn't fit for a regular 9-to-5 or, you know, just being in – I'm not fit for an office setting at all.
Oh, believe me. When a month after the whole thing started, I started working at Amazon, and I hated every fucking second of it because – they would have us there by 10 in the morning and we wouldn't get out till 8 at night, and then you do it again the next day. And okay, so think of like, all right, so like this is how this works. So you have like a crate that's like maybe maybe 3.5 feet by 4 feet, right? You have a crate and you have like 30 packages in there. It could be packages or envelopes. So you have like 30, 35 packages in there. Now, in a van, you would have at least, on your first day, you'll have maybe 4 or 5 of those crates. Not that big of a deal. But on a normal shift, you would have at least 13 of those crates. And there would be days where you would sometimes have 17 crates. And these motherfuckers would expect you to work through your lunch, and that's it. There was no, you had to get the job done. And if you didn't, they would send out a person to come out and rescue you. And they would keep telling us the whole point of a rescue is obviously if you needed help, but they really want not to, they wouldn't have to pay that person. And B, it would just, you know, it would just be you and that's it.
That's like some Disney World shit where, like, if you, like, mess up or do something wrong or, you know, you're not able to give helpful directions, they'll have security come in and just pick you up and take you out of the scenario where you're like, what the hell just happened? Like, sketchiest place. You talk about Amazon. Anything being corporate is a big problem because they just think of you as a number. But Disney World, nobody ever dies there because they pronounce you dead outside the park.
This. Where my dispatch called like, hey, we see that you're falling behind to like the normal pace that Amazon estimates that you should be like going by. You're falling behind. Is there anything that we could do to make, or if is there anything that we can do to make it easier for you so that you won't fall behind?
And okay. I'm
like, I mean, you can hang up the phone for one. And number two, I already know I'm shitty at my job. There's no need to remind me. And I knew it was time to quit when I heard one asshole go, it's like they're paying us to work out. And I was like, that's it. I can't do
this. That's crazy. Holy shit. They're like, they're paying us to work out. Yeah, they're paying us to break.
Yeah, I was like, I thought we were on the same team. Why am I the only one that's angry? Why is everybody coming in here happy?
Because they're drinking the Kool-Aid, dude. There's like, that's why you become a comedian, man, because you're different.
Every shift I'd be driving, I'm just like, I need to be funnier. This fucking sucks. I can't stand this shit.
Did you think of any like clever jokes or material besides the COVID shit? Because I feel like everybody's going to be hitting that mark.
in a month, like, you know, when COVID started, I was depressed because there was nothing to do.
After a month of COVID?
After a month of COVID, I was feeling depressed, down. I was getting no sun. I didn't feel funny. And like when I'm left alone with my thoughts, that's kind of a problem, especially when I don't have those thoughts like under control or just like, I'm a thinker and a doer. So when I sit down and start thinking, it could be a positive thing.
And it could be negative. I can feel you on that.
Yeah. Most of the times it's like a fucking, it's like a tree. It's like tree branches where it's, you know, one thought starts and then it just keeps branching out into different things. And, you know, when you're locked in and not being able to do anything after you've watched all of Netflix and there's nothing else to watch, you kind of just get into a negative headspace. And that's where I was for like a month. And then I got a job at Amazon. And on the first day, I wrote 5 new jokes. So that was good. Because honestly, the way I work is I have to be doing more than one thing in order for me to feel not only productive, but in order for my brain to feel creative. That's how I get the juices flowing, is I have to do more than one thing at once.
I don't want to be like, hey, funny man, tell me a joke, but can I hear one of your jokes?
Sure. One of my favorite ones that I had been doing for a while was, I asked the audience if anybody's into animals or like Nat Geo docs, and everybody's like, yeah, cool. And then I just go ahead and I just start by going, bestiality was recently outlawed in Kentucky. That shit was outlawed in Kentucky in 2019. I'll say it again for the people who clearly don't know that there's a definition or a word for fucking animals. It's fucking animals. That's it. And when I first read that headline, my first thought was, who overdid it? You know?
Yeah.
Who went too far? You know, who ruined my vacation to Kentucky?
It's funny because, like, that's the same thing. For the longest time, like, there wasn't a law in Texas that says, because Texas at one point had more tigers than all of the wild of the world. And then the Joe Exotic thing started coming out. And now people were like, we need to put a limit on Texas and tigers and all this other shit that's going on. Like, they just ended up putting a stop on that after the documentary. People are like, wait a minute. You're telling me how many tigers are in Texas? Because there's no law in their code book that says you can't own a tiger. So next thing you know, Jim's got 15 tigers. Then Bob's got 25 trying to rival up against that guy. I'm like, holy shit, here we go.
Yeah, that's fucked. But yeah, I hate when people are like, yeah, tell me a joke. And I'm like, damn, dude, it's so weird. Like, I can improvise and be funny in conversation, but like, my act is my act. And it's one of those things where it's like, you have to come out. Cause I say it's not even, it's like, it's more so an experience than anything where, you know, it's, when I'm up there, it's very, in your face and raw and very, it's a spectacle. It's one of those things where it's like, it's very, like when you see me, you won't forget me.
You have to be in the moment. That's why when I asked, I kind of felt a little bit bad about the question. That's why I said, don't feel like, you know, I don't want to be like, hey, funny man. But I just wanted to know, because everyone's got their own style and they usually develop their style off certain influences and things too.
Yeah.
And like, you know, comedy, it depending on how you're doing it, it could be storytelling. I've turned some pretty dumbass stories that I have into comedy bits. You know, like I didn't know Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan weren't the same person until I was in my 20s. I just considered MJ. I saw that and I was like, oh, same guy. So Michael Jordan actually came to my town. And then next thing you know, I was like, yeah, I would love to ask him what it was to be like the first guy in the NBA with AIDS. And then some person just looks at me and goes, that's fucking Magic Johnson. And I'm like, same guy? They're like, nope.
Jesus. Yeah, I just sent you a link to like one of the most recent sets that I recorded, which is like kind of the closest and most accurate representation of what my routine looks like right now. But yeah.
I mean, would you consider comedy like where you get like do you just randomly get the inspiration, or do you see a lot of it just kind of every day, like shit you're just noticing? It's like, that's weird. Why is anybody talking about that? Like, I had a little joke I cracked on here. I was pumping gas one time and a woman in front of me was like looking at the machine like it was some space thing. And I was like, she's in her like late 30s. She's got to know how to pump her own gas. And she goes, excuse me, how does this work? And I'm like, what? And she's like, I'm from Jersey. It's illegal for us to pump our own gas.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck is that?
That happened to me in Portland. I thought I was getting robbed.
Yeah.
I was about to start pumping my own gas, and this dude was like, let me see your card. And I was like, no. I'm from Chicago. You know, people don't even put an attempt. They don't make that much of an attempt to steal from me. They just go, that's a nice phone. It's my phone now.
Yeah, nobody, yeah.
Nobody, you know, this guy was like, let me see your card. And I was like, what the fuck is? And then he was like, he swiped it in. And then he's like, what's the code? And I was like, what? I don't know why I went along with it. And I just told him. And then he was like, what kind of gas? And I was like, mid-grade. And then I was just like, is this dude like expecting a tip at the end? Is this just like a homeless guy and needs money? And this motherfucker was like, you go back into the car. I got it. And I was like, okay, are people just friendly in Portland? And then when he was done, he was just like, you know, it's illegal to pump your own gas in Oregon. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. Because
did he explain why it is?
No, I just didn't know that was a thing. But like, I could have sworn that in Portland, I had pumped my own gas before.
It's like illegal shit. Someone's like, that dude's pumping his own gas.
So that was pretty weird, because I honestly thought I was going to get robbed.
You go with the flow too much. If somebody asks what your card number is and you give them your PIN, like, geez, dude, like, you're from Chicago. You should be way like, I'm good.
No, but that's when people are like, you know, we should watch out for like, what is that shit? Identity theft. And it's like, honestly, I'm broke. You can have it. Well, you can have whatever you want. So in that case, I was just like, it's fine. I haven't gotten paid for my shows yet. So by all means.
That's like, it's evolved into a new form, identity theft with social media, because I've seen people copy other people's profiles.
Yeah, I've seen that. Definitely seen that.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know, man. Nobody's copied me yet.
So now you just put that out there into the world. There's going to be a bunch of people with your face photoshopped on an avocado.
Super cool. Oh, I already got that. That's my merch. Yeah. Where is it? Yeah, right there. Can you see that?
Plug it, dude. That is amazing. I mean, I already feel bad. Like, I feel awkward doing this podcast just because I'm wearing a shirt that's my merch. But I never do that.
No. Are you kidding me? I do that shit all the time. The night I opened for Jeff Ross, I wore my merch. Are you fucking kidding me?
Who's the most famous person you've ever opened for?
I think Jeff Ross. Or actually, Tim Meadows, who was on Saturday Night Live. If you've seen Mean Girls, he was the principal.
What's your best comedy experience? Like, an amazing night that sticks out in your mind, like, you, that night was fucking fire.
There's two. One was in Chicago. I got to meet Dave Chappelle.
Hell yeah.
That was my first time meeting him. I hung out with him once, and I met him a second time. But in Chicago, we went, a couple buddies and I went to see Chappelle. And this is before his first two specials dropped on Netflix. So people were still like eagerly waiting for the two specials. And he was on tour, you know, obviously testing out the material and whatnot. And great show. I didn't grow up with Chappelle, so like, I had never seen anything Chappelle had done. Because I'm very nitpicky with my comics, because I like a lot of old school shit. But like, I never watched the Chappelle show, but that was just me. I grew up more so with like Chris Rock and George Lopez. And then if you're going all the way back, like, you know, Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Sam Kinison and Lenny Bruce and all that. But it was really cool because that was the first time I had watched Chappelle do an hour, and it was amazing. And then one of our buddies in the group knew the opener, who is a Chicago guy, and he didn't tell us until after the show that we were going to get a chance to meet Dave. Apparently, when we got backstage, Dave said that he was waiting to meet us, and we're like, what the fuck? And I got more excited because they said that there was fried chicken in the back, so that's what I got excited about. And then we waited for like an hour because he was in another room just getting high before his second show. And then we talked for a good 45 minutes about comedy, and we were just chilling with him. And
was he like actually like real? I always like hearing that about like famous people, like when you meet him and they're like, oh
yeah, he's one of the most down to earth people. And he's not that tall. He looks so tall.
It looks like he's 6'5" on stage.
No, I think we're eye level, and I'm 5'9".
What? So,
yeah, I have a picture here somewhere. But yeah, I thought he would be taller, but he's not really that tall.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, that was really cool. And then what were you going to say?
I was going to say, what would be the worst experience? Because I do want to ask about that, because I feel like a lot of people go like after a bomb, or people that are trying to think about doing it, and they're afraid of that. I'm like, it happens to everybody. Like, I like hearing like when Joe Rogan or something talks about like all the bombs he has or those cringy moments. They suck, but he says that those make you better.
See that? He's like, hold on. I think my fucking computer is like, the camera just came fuzzy. That's all it is. It's not, I don't know. But that is, oh shit.
I can put it at the, when I post the episode, I can put the photo up next to it so people can see it.
Man, that sucks. I don't know why this camera is so fuzzy. Anyway, you can't really see it, but.
I'll put the photo up when I post the episode.
I'll send it to you, through the gram, so you can take a look at it. But yeah, he's in the middle, and yeah, he's not really that tall. I was expecting him to be taller, but yeah, I just sent that to you. The worst experience I've had, I don't know if that's the worst experience, but I don't know why that's the first thing that comes up. So I also do improv and sketch comedy. And I was over at Second City, which is a huge, you know, improv.
Yeah, one of the coaches from there was on here. His name's, oh my God, Kevin Rayom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is my first time getting paid by Second City. I'm doing a 10-week sketch show. And opening night, I had, so I wasn't dating her. I mean, I wasn't like in a thing with her, but we had been on a couple dates, but it was just a month of fucking and just cuddling. That's all it was. And a week before that opening night, a week or two before that opening night, we were going to go out on our fifth date. And I never wanted to be in a relationship, period. Not just because it had nothing to do with her. I just didn't want to be in one. Because I, you know, if you know me, I'm very focused and determined, and I don't really let things derail me from, you know, achieving dreams and goals and whatever. Like Rocky, where it's like, you know, don't touch my penis while I'm training and shit. But yeah, so
Rocky, you were watching.
What? Didn't you remember? He's icing himself, and she's like, and he's like, you can't fool around. Don't do that. I'm training.
You remember that? Shit. Wow, I gotta rewatch that movie. I keep thinking every time I hear Rocky, I always think of Apollo Creed and how it was bullshit.
Okay, yeah, I think that was the first one, but
he died in the second one.
Apollo
Creed? Creed died in the ring by the Russian guy.
The second one, he died in the fourth one. Come on, son, you gotta get your Rocky straight.
He died either way.
Yeah, but in the fourth one.
They all go, Adrian, and he just starts screaming. That's like the whole Rockies for me.
You were way off, though. You got it chronological. But he did that.
Rest in peace.
What was I saying?
Something about Apollo Creed and don't touch my penis, and then I kind of faded from there.
Okay, so, yeah, told her I didn't want to do anything. And I told her, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to throw down some good dick, and you're going to get a crush on me. And I know it's going to happen. And it did. And then I told her, I don't want to do anything. But then your boy here had a change of heart and was like, you know what? If I want to start dating and actually have a girlfriend, you know, fuck it. She would be a nice person to be in a relationship with. So then on that fifth date, I was planning to ask her to be my girlfriend. And then before the date even started, she told me that an ex of hers came out from her past and talked to her again and reminded her of why she's not fit to be in a relationship right now. So she said, the best thing that we could do is be friends. And I was like, wait, what? That sucks. Because I was going to ask you to be my girlfriend. Woof. Yeah, oh, that sucks. That was the same year that I got my, I'm sorry. That was the same month that I found out that, because this is how we met up. We matched on Tinder, but before that, we had taken an improv class together. And guess who the dude from her past was? Another dude in our class.
That
would have been fucked up, but it was another dude in our class.
Is that illegal, though? I mean, if your guys are above age.
No, I just didn't feel special anymore. I was just like, are you just going down the line in our class? Because that doesn't sound cool. And we went out to dinner anyway. She was like, you can still hold my hand and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this is stupid. I'm just going to eat at this fancy Italian restaurant that no longer exists. They shut down after like 60 years of operation. But anyway, 2 weeks later at Second City, she told me that week, she was like, I'm still coming to your show regardless of everything that's happened. And I'm bringing my parents. What? Why? And she told her parents that we were dating. And I was like, God, not really. I've occasionally made your daughter come. But I wanted to be her boyfriend, but she had a change of heart. And now she's coming to a show. Great show, by the way. Sold out. Her being in the front row. In the front row. Didn't affect me at all. But.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once I'm on stage and in the zone, you can't really get me out of it. So that was fucking stupid. Met her parents after. And they were like, I think they knew it was over. Because I was just like, yeah.
Dude, you've had to turn that into a bit, dude. Come on.
No, because it's not worth it. I give bits meaning, and that really didn't have – I didn't want to give it meaning. I didn't want to give it significance. So.
That is such a, like, perfect honestly, story.
That shit pissed me off, though, because, you know, you don't do that to someone on their first night. You know, like, yeah. So that was pretty dumb, but I'm pretty sure I've had other shitty experiences, but that's the one that pops out the most right now.
What really goes through my mind is like, if anybody can get up on stage and try their best to make somebody laugh, like I feel like I look at comedians, like, you know, the reason why I crack jokes or do something in dumb situations is just to make light of like, life is a little bit too serious, but obviously it comes from like, you know, a lot of shit too. Sometimes people got a lot on their plate. Sometimes people are struggling. Like Sam Kinnis, for instance, suffered from a lot. An alcoholic, had a very hard past, and he used a lot of jokes and kind of went crazy with it. But a lot of comedians have something inside of them that they can't please themselves or they can please others. And that brings better joy to them. Like, you know, we talked about like the demons or the voices you kind of get if you stuck with your thoughts. I get the same shit. I just try and stay productive with it. Do a podcast, do work out, do something that keeps, because once you start sitting with that and marinating it, and I feel like that's with everybody that just happened with the virus and everything. We're all sitting inside our house, not able to do shit. And it's like, that just really festered up inside of your head to the point where it's like, oh, I can't be with my own thoughts or my family because I am reaching for a butter knife to stab somebody.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm just happy to be out doing a show Friday because I hate being – I like my job right now. I'm also a teacher. I teach improv to kids, so I got to do that a lot this summer. I'm a head camp counselor at improv camp, but then I also teach on Sundays for this youth ensemble. But I don't like being the funniest pizza delivery driver. That's what pisses me off. I'm like, I can't be the funniest guy at this job. I just want to be one of the funniest people in the world. So the head chef over at the restaurant that I work at watched the clip that I sent you, apparently watched it with his mom, and his mom is now a super fan of mine, which is hilarious. And I have a special out called Lonely Wit. It's an hour special. It's available on my website, jasonavocado.com. And it's an improvised musical stand-up comedy experience. There you go.
That sounds like the musical part I'm not down for.
It's an improvised musical stand-up comedy experience. Nothing is written. So, I mean, if you're into freestyling.
I'm into Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's what, okay. I mean, this is what this is, kind of, not really. But I'd say go into it with an open mind to you, especially if you don't like the singing part. I'm not saying musical like theater musical.
Okay.
I mean, there's just music in it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like Les Miserables or whatever. I was like, I'm not down for that. Honestly, when I saw that, I wanted to punch Anne Hathaway and Hugh Jackman so hard.
No, it's me and a guy who I just met that night playing the piano. And I talk to the audience. I single someone out and I have a conversation with them. And then whatever we're talking about, I turn into a song on the spot.
Oh, that's dope.
There you go. So it's all improvised. So, you know, you're part of the quote unquote press. So I'll just send you a free download code and you can enjoy that.
Yeah,
he's the only person that's ever requested a DVD, and I think it's hilarious because he's like, I usually sell my special at clubs or after a show with, it's like a ticket, and I don't think I have any on me right now, but it's just like a ticket, and on the back, or actually I do, yeah, it's a ticket, and on the back, you have an access code. So it looks like you're going to a show, right? But you're not, because the show's at home. So all the info is on there. The code is right here. And then you just enter it on my website, and then you could download and stream as much as you'd like.
There's a dude listening to this podcast through Spotify. He's like, what the fuck is he showing him? What is he showing him?
It's on Spotify, too. So
there you go. Look, I'll make sure I link it all up in the description too. But doesn't it feel good when you create something and then people love it or people just enjoy it? Even if it's one person, that shit feels amazing to the point where it's like, well, thanks, man. Like, feel honored by it.
The best review I've gotten was from this woman. She had seen me perform 2 times before. And, she had seen me perform before at this one comedy club here in Chicago called Zanies, which is one of my favorite.
Yeah, I know Zanies.
Zanies in Rosemont, which is the one near the airport O'Hare. So she had seen me perform there before, and there was another night she came by a couple months after the first time she saw me. And she was like, hey, do you remember me? And I was like, no, I don't. And she was like, I bought your special. It's great. Thought you were hilarious tonight, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, cool, cool. And she was like, I showed it to my friend and I told her to watch it because it was hilarious. And she was like, I don't like to watch stand-up comedy unless it's on Netflix or blah, 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 blah. So I'm pretty sure this guy is going to suck. And then she watched the whole hour and she was like, honestly, was not expecting it to be that good. Was not expecting the quality to be the way it was, as great as it was. So not going to lie. That guy was really good, and I'm surprised he's not on Netflix. Blah, 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 blah. And so I like that my special changes people's minds. Straight up hater at the beginning, and then after was like, what? Very surprised that it was that good. So that was nice. And then my sister-in-law, her now husband, doesn't like me because I don't know.
You cracked the joke on him. That's what you did.
Well, her sister and or my sister-in-law and I, we hang out occasionally, and he doesn't like that, and I don't know why. Insecurity, I don't know. But they're married now, so who gives a shit? But I don't like her like that. You know what I'm saying? But he thinks that's a dude, so whatever. And he, if she was at the recording, or at the taping, and she eventually bought the special and was like, "Hey, you should watch it just so you could understand why I think Jason is so funny. You should give it a chance." And then at the end of the whole thing, he was like, "Wow, I was not expecting him to be that funny. Thought it was just all hype." So that was nice. It changes people's minds. So definitely watch that. I'll send you the info with all that. So,
is there anything else you would like to promote, good sir?
My OnlyFans, if you want to see.
Are you sucking on toes at all in any of the OnlyFans? Because I'm fucking curious.
I can't reach my toes. No.
You can cross your legs in a dream. It takes maybe 7 hours, depending on how long you sleep. But so you can touch your toe. I mean, you can suck a toe, can't you? One toe.
I can do yoga.
What the fuck?
Well, I can reach my toes. I can't lick my toes.
I can barely reach my toes.
That sucks.
I have a spine injury.
Wow. Just got serious. Guys, thank you
so much. Feel like shit. That was the point. Thank you
so much for having me. I hope I could donate to the proper spine charity.
I would donate all my money to the charity that probably has the least donations. And what would that be? The charity for the blind and the deaf?
Right.
Or maybe elephants painting without trunks.
What the fuck?
You ever seen elephant paint and they don't have a trunk? How are they going to paint now? They can't use their arms and legs.
I don't know. But after hearing that information, I thought I had to take a shit before, but now I really need to.
Well, I'm glad I could push that anxiety idea. And
I appreciate that.
I'll make sure I link everything in there. You want to promote the Instagram page before you go?
It's just Jason Avocado. And then if anybody's ever bored, hit up my website because it looks very professional and I did it all. So check that out. And yeah, if you have $5 laying around, buy that special. It's great for quarantine viewing. And this is a very chill interview. And if you want to see how I am, explosive, raw, loud, catch some of my stand-up online or watch my special. Actually, my special is pretty tame compared to the way I perform because, just to give you a little background on that show, that was filmed in 2018, which was quite possibly the worst year that I've had ever. In the first 2 weeks of 2018, my uncle died.
Oh, fuck. Jeez, me about getting sappy, and then you come at me with that.
My uncle died from cancer.
Feel like a dick.
I was told that I had to put my dog down because he had cancer. My sister had a miscarriage.
All right, I'm ending the fucking podcast before someone shoots himself in the head.
I got my heart broken, and I was unemployed, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to quit comedy. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And then cut all the way down to December, and I hadn't performed for like half the year. People thought I moved. People thought I died. I got off social media. I just disappeared from everything. I went to Colombia, which is where my family's from, and I just spent a week and a half with family and just – it's just something about those mountains that just like recharges you and just being isolated from everything. And I decided a month before I was going to shoot my special that I was going to do a special because I had so many people in my life tell me, you're good enough you're good enough to do a thing like that. It's surprising that you haven't done anything like that and you should do it. So I told myself
out of the hard parts of it, dude.
Yeah, so I told myself that I just wanted to have fun. I told myself that I wanted to do something that would allow me to feel 5 years old and in my 5 years old again and feel like I'm in my childhood apartment living room with my sister and just performing and just having fun. So I came up with the idea that is Lonely Wit, where it's an improvised, it's a crowd work show where I talk to the crowd, take whatever I talk with them about and turn it into a song. And then that honestly, I think it's a masterpiece for myself because it's one of those things where you couldn't have done it any better. It was not written and it felt so organic and it felt so right. And the crowd that came out that night was crazy good. Was not expecting that to happen because, like I said, I posted on Instagram that I was going to do it a month before I did it. And we had a line outside of people waiting to get in. It was negative degree weather and we had a full house and we had people there that I didn't know that said that they had seen me before perform in other places. And it was crazy. The love that I got that night. So that special was basically an artistic way of saying that if you pull yourself out of the darkness, then you will be able to create your own light. So that's what that was. That was finding light in the darkness. And it was a great bounce back because that special was recorded the night before I flew to Portland for the first time for 9 days. And I did, I went for 8 days and I did 9 shows, something like that, or like 11 shows. I don't know. I did a lot, but yeah, after that show, everything fell back into place. And then that 2019 was the best year I've ever had in comedy. I toured 10 states and 2 countries. I did multiple comedy festivals. I opened for a lot of cool people. I sold a lot of my special and met a lot of great people. I got to see a lot of parts of the world that I didn't think I'd see. Performed in 2 languages, in Mexico and in Colombia. And yeah. So the special is just, like I said, it's a tribute to those who have been through some dark times and didn't get the credit or the recognition that one deserves for crawling out of that darkness. Well, so
shit. I'm going to have to watch that because your 2018 sounds like how my 2020 has been. So I'm hoping really? 2021 is going to be your 2019. I had people pull me from a brink of, you know, badness. And this is what I consider my form of therapy is, you know, chatting it up and shooting the shit and getting mind off things. So I'm hoping I'm going to keep that in mind when I watch your special and try and
really. That's the thing too. That's you can't get out of it unless you get yourself out of it. Cause it's so easy to be comfortable in the dark place and then comfortable to the point where there's inaction. So sometimes the only thing that we can do is get out of our own way. But yeah, definitely watch it. And like I said, if you watch the clip that I sent you and you watch the special, same person, but it's just two levels of, it's two different wavelengths.
Two different forms of Jason.
Yeah, it's two different forms of performance, basically. One of them is very chill and laid back, and the other one is explosive and raw. And I think both represent me in the best light possible, for sure. And also, I wouldn't even consider the first special or the first album to be a comedy special. I think it's a jazz record. A jazz album.
I'll have to check it out for sure. I'll make sure I link it up there.
People think that's funny, but you know, I'm a huge fan of jazz. I love jazz. And I think, you know, jazz is what makes jazz awesome is, well, what is jazz? You know, jazz Emotion. Is rhythm, improvisation, and doing it your way, individuality. That's what makes it cool. Rhythm, timing, improvisation. And making it look cool. A lot of people
You're like the chef that brings out the dinner and he's like, hang on, let me add this, let me add this, let me add this, let me add this. I'm like, well, shit, I'm getting more for my money.
Well, let me blow your mind. Okay. So comedy is a lot like jazz, but right now, or with any art form, you know, but specifically comedy, since it's like jazz, rhythm, timing, improvisation. And when you do it your way is what makes it cool. A lot of people are doing covers. They're trying to be somebody else.
That gets sussed out real quick. That's why I asked who your influences were, because you, when you start out, you pick a lot of that person. You have to kill that out of you. You have to, you know, you're going to have your mannerisms. You're going to have like, oh, yeah, we're going to party all night. Well, that's Sam Kinison. You got to find you. How are you going to establish yourself? Same thing when you start an episode of a podcast, for instance. I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do with it, and then it turned into this.
Yeah, but yeah, that special is – I will fight to.
I think you've hyped it up enough in this episode.
I will defend it to the grave and say that it's a jazz record, because not a lot of people can go out there with nothing and create something in front of people. So
I'm ending on that, because that was a perfect quote.